It's my privilege to introduce my oldest son and my wife in the West Balcony.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, there's some of you that won't be back next year, and you've done this, you've made a decision on your own. I sit next to somebody who is not coming back, and let me tell you a little story about her. I'm trying to get her more conservative every day, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. She looks at me and says, well, when are you going to turn liberal? And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But, okay, it doesn't. But it's been a privilege and an honor for me to sit next to the representative from Laramie. And quite frankly, for all of you that are leaving, before we're done today, if I could ask each and every one of you to come up front as kind of a group, and I'd love to get a couple pictures of you so I can send them to each and every one of you. And those of you that are leaving the House, thank you for your service. We appreciate it. I appreciate everything that you've done for the people of the state of Wyoming and your district. Godspeed to each and every one of you, and to the members of the 59th Legislature. Thank you very much.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
As one of the classmates with, I think I'll use her name, Representative Warren, when she joined the class that came in the same time I did, a good friend of mine, and I won't use his name, but he's from Laramie, said, she is absolutely the brightest person we've ever seen. And that was about 8 years ago, and I believe that to this day, from that time on to this day, she is as bright as anybody that's ever come on this floor of the House, and I'm going to miss her.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
You know, I wasn't expecting these other two people to say something because I'm up here to say something about somebody else. So I want to put the attention to my left over here in the corner to this wonderful fellow from Albany County. He and I both got elected the same year. And so we were coming over to the orientation. Now, I had never even been in the Capitol, you guys. My peer had at least been over here and been in meetings. I was scared to death. What am I doing? Why did I get elected? How am I going to figure this out? But I had this wonderful peer from Albany County that also was new. So we were ready to come over to orientation, as many of you new individuals were, and the roads were closed. So we sat in the car, his car, because he was driving, over in Laramie, could not get over the summit. We missed the entire orientation. So here we showed up, because it used to just be a couple days instead of it's much longer now. We showed up and we both said to each other, how in the heck are we going to figure this out? I also want to say not only did he figure it out, and he's got his partner in life here and his son here, but if you have a minute today, talk to this wonderful representative about his family, about his children, about the difference that he's made in this world, about the difference that he's made in his family. He is a leader. He is a person who we can all learn from. And I just want to say this deep thank you for serving with him, for driving with him, for missing orientation, and for trying to figure out what in the heck we're doing. So here's to wonderful, I guess we can't say the names, but the representative from Albany County.
Representative Harshman.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I just wanted to add a little more to this Albany County Love Fest. And I would just like to tell you, and the good representative, I'm going to say their names, Representative Slater, his five kids, I believe, are all doctors. And the good Representative Warren, her two boys both have their PhDs as well. So we're sitting right in the middle of the brain trust of Albany County. And it speaks well to the parenting. And just a great job. We're going to all miss you. Thank you.
Members of the House, for those of you that haven't seen about what you're about to see, you're in for something very, very special. For those of you in the gallery, this is one of these very special, important grassroots things that is right here from the House of Representatives. Representative Thompson. We have more time than money. We have more time than money.
Thank you.
Representative Thompson and friends, thank you very much. It's a great event. Members of the House, joining us today is David Romvet, Wyoming's very own poet laureate. This will be the fourth year that Mr. Romvet has joined us to read one of his poems. Mr. Romvet lives in Buffalo and is an award-winning author of several books on poetry and prose. He has also won creative writing fellowships from the National Endowments for the Arts. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome Wyoming's poet laureate, David Romvet.
Hi, how are you doing? Nice to see you. You're going to get out of the way? Oh, it was lovely. Thank you very much. Let's see. I'd like to thank you again for having me here. It's my great honor, of course, as you know, to represent not only literature, but the arts and artists in Wyoming. And I'm especially grateful this year to be here. The legislature has funded a little bit of project monies for the literary program in the state, and that means that we're going to try to develop programs that we hope will help us to lead an even richer life in this state, programs that will help build community through the arts. And so thank you all very much for that. I'm assuming you're all aware that you did that funding, so that's really great for us. And then I want to read one poem to you. But I have to find it in this little book for you. I have a couple things I want to do. I want to read a poem. And because it's the end of the session, usually I have been here at the beginning of the sessions, and it's very different because I often come in and try to talk a little bit about community development through the arts, that kind of thing. But because we're at the end of the session, I noticed over in the Senate, I don't know, you don't ever get to see each other in action, right? You can't sneak over there sometimes and watch them in action. Yeah. Yes, I do understand what you mean. But today they were a little bit wild today, being near the end of the session. I think they were feeling like, oh, something's coming here. And so I want to read a couple things that deal specifically, or one thing, that deal with the place we live and the beauty of that place and the feelings that I've been given of it through my wife's family. I've mentioned in the past that my wife's family are ranchers in northern Wyoming for a long time. So this is a poem in my wife's voice about our landscape, where we live. It's called, Oh, If You Could Know. Down there, that's where we rode, through the greasewood in the field. About a mile that way, I called those the lizard rocks, because I'd go there and hunt lizards all day. Loved lizards and snakes and horned toads who pushed against my hand when I'd pet them. I thought they liked it, so I'd turn them over and stroke their bellies. They seemed hypnotized. Later I learned that upside down, horned toads pass out. I kept chameleons in the houseplants and turtles in the bathtub. In winter, I'd get so excited when I found a fly. You know how flies freeze in the winter? But when it gets warm, they wake up and they're woozy and easy to catch. I'd grab them and feed them to the lizards. I climbed over every rock, poking a stick into each crack and hole, wiggling the stick in the sand, looking for swifts hiding from the heat. But you had to be careful, because there might be a rattlesnake, and scorpions sleep in the sand too. I never took water or food, too busy for that, but when I got back, covered with dust, I was starving, dying of thirst, and late. This dry ranch and these horses are my state of grace. I don't forget any of it, not even what I hate. Like when Simon made me help kill prairie dogs. I caught a baby one and wanted to save it, but Simon made me put it back in the hole and pour in the poison oats. I cried, and he never made me do it again. We used to trail sheep from 4 Mile to Wormwood because there weren't any scales at 4 Mile then. All day we'd ride following the sheep. At night we'd sleep on the ground next to the animals and the stars. I was afraid I'd screw up, but I loved it anyway. I tried to keep the sheep together. Simon would say to other ranchers, "This is Margot. She's my top hand," and look proud. But alone, he'd yell at me for my mistakes. And once I did lose an entire band of sheep Simon had to find. Then there was docking. We'd get up at 3 a.m. day after day and cut tails and testicles off lambs until everyone, and even the earth, was blood-soaked and sticky, and we were standing in blood mud. Long summer days, my cousin Brad and I would ride to Powder River 7 miles from the cabin at the end of the ranch. We'd pick up fallen branches and pretend to be knights in armor, aim our cottonwood lances at each other's hearts, galloping as fast as we could at the last minute, veering away so we never hit each other. We'd just run and run and run. That's it. I've been happiest with horses. I can't tell you how it feels inside or what horses mean or why childhood in this dry, empty spot, more barren and desolate. You know, that's what people think of Wyoming, especially here, this dry, ugly desert of cactus and cold, no trees, a little yellow grass. But when I look around, everything's alive. The greasewood field, the lizard rocks, Brad and me with our cottonwood lances, the horses, and the long ride to the river. And for all of it, I never wanted to go home. Just wanted to be there, be here. Come on, today we'll ride, you and me, and you'll see. So that's the poem. And of course, I hope that that's part of what our work, both as our, me as an artist and you as legislators, I hope that, and I assume we all are, working because that's the kind of thing we want in our lives. In some way, that's a home we'd like to be able to go home to. And the power of my wife's experience growing up has shaped me very deeply in my response to Wyoming. One other little thing I'd like to do for you, if you're okay with a little time. I'd like to play a piece of music. I have often said in these yearly chats here that I come and give that I do feel strongly I represent the arts and not just literature, though literature is a very powerful art. And so I wanted to play a little music, and I want the music also to be linked to where we live and the work we do. So I'm going to play a Basque tune for you. The Basque people have been very instrumental in the history of Wyoming, and my wife's family is a Basque family. This tune is called Agur. Anybody in the room know that word, agur? No? Agur is a Basque word that means greeting. It can be used in passing. It can either be hello or goodbye. And it is often used to represent and to show respect for one another. So the tune Agur is played very commonly in ceremonial occasions, much as this, in which we want to show honor for something. And I want to honor the work that you do here as an artist by playing this tune. It might be played in the Basque Country at a mass, at a wedding, at a presidential inauguration, at a school track meet, at, you know, any kind of event where you want to slow down for just a second and show a little honor for other people. So here is Agur. Oh, did we already say Agur together? Go ahead and say that. Agur. 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 Good.
You have to learn to roll your R's.
Thanks for having me. Thank you. See you, man. See you.
Thank you.
Mr. Rombeth, thank you. Agur.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Certainly may.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, up in the North Balcony, I have a couple special visitors with me here today. I'd like you to welcome to the House my wife, Sheila, and one of our eight grandchildren, Tatum, who some of you have been asking about. So welcome to the House.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 308, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 9, Senate Retirement Board Immunity. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 2 result on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 309, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 21, Hathaway Scholarship Program. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee report on Committee Number 2, report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Members of the House, we are now at that order of business of consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. The first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number 1 on House Bill 155. Representative Eichel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move Joint Conference Committee number 1 report, and I ask for your support. What had happened was that the other side of the House had taken out the $800,000, which was from general fund. And the simple thing that we have done is to cut in half the difference between zero and $800,000. So what we've ended up with is $400,000 from general fund. And we have talked about how the probable capacity for recruitment is around 5 or 6 physicians, and that this will probably be able to cover that anyhow, and is a positive thing for meeting the needs that we have, which are very severe in terms of physician shortage. And so I again ask for your support.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, the debate that I heard from the Senate side was that the health department had lots of flex money. If the physicians needed an incentive, they were very capable and able and plenty of money to do that without any additional appropriation.
Further discussion. We are now voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to House Bill 155. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt this report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers excused. Kraft. Davison excused. Dirks. Dockstetter, aye. Edmonds, aye. Edwards, aye. Esquivel F, Esquivel F, Esquivel K, aye. Gilmore, aye. Gingery, aye. Goggles, aye. Hales, aye. Hallinan, conflict. Hammonds, Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel.
Aye.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
No.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart. Lockhart. Lockhart excused. Lockhart excused. Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
No.
Korberg.
Aye.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Simlek.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Conflict.
Stewart. Conflict. Stubson. Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Warren, White, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dan excused, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Berger, Berger excused, Esquivel F, Esquivel F excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Harshman, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Philp, no to aye. Martin, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Mercer, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 36 ayes, 16 noes, 6 excused, 2 conflicts.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee No. 1 report to House Bill 155. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee No. 2 on Senate File 9. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Joint Conference Committee report No. 2 on Senate File 9. This is the immunity for board members of retirement boards. We had extensive changes on the floor. Then we had to go through two conference committees to get it right. And had you been paying an hourly rate for the legal effort involved in the last go-around on this, you'd have seen your life passing right before your eyes, I think. And so then after we got all that done, we went to LSO, and one of our extremely competent LSO attorneys took all our work and boiled it into one paragraph. So what we have done is this. In the end, if you look on the Joint Conference Committee report down at the bottom with that paragraph E, what we had to do to make this work was carve out individual board members of a retirement system as a separate class of people. And they get a level of immunity that are paid, highly paid, I might add, financial advisors don't get and don't need. But there was the thing that precipitated this in the first place was board members had a level of liability in this thing, and as volunteers it just made no sense, and we weren't going to have any board members. So we carved them out, and we said that they're immune from liability while acting within the scope of administering and operating the retirement system. And we said they're not personally liable for breaches of fiduciary duties and carrying out system administration and operation, except in cases of, and this is where we did a lot of work, cases of willful misconduct, intentional torts, or illegal acts. And so I think that takes care of the board members, puts them in a position where they're comfortable, and leaves our other fiduciaries and financial advisors where they need to be, which is they make a lot of money, they can buy insurance, they're supposed to know what they're doing, and so they need a level of liability there that our board members don't need. And then, Mr. Speaker, by incorporating this into one paragraph in the Uniform Management of Public Employee Retirement Systems Act, we catch and apply this to all of our retirement boards, including the Volunteer Firemen's Pension Board, the new Emergency Medical Technicians Retirement Board that we just set up, as well as the regular retirement board. So with one paragraph in that act applies to all of our retirement boards in the state. We accord the same level of liability to board members on those boards.
So I would urge you to vote aye on this. I think it's a really good and simple solution, and threads its way through a real minefield that we had to work our way through in terms of all the various levels of liability and reconcilement between the Uniform Act and the Wyoming statutes.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you to vote no. This has gone through two conference committees. I was on the first one, and here's the problem. We're still not protecting the beneficiaries. That should be our emphasis, is protecting the public employees of this state and not worrying about protecting the board. We've seen to put all our emphasis in protecting board members and not protecting the folks that are going to potentially lose their pension plans. States have gone through this in other states. That's why we implemented this 4 years ago. There is a avenue to protect these board members. It's through E&O insurance. And what my major concern is that my understanding from testimony was that this came about because they were having a debate about divesting from Darfur. What I'm concerned about is this board, now that we're going to give them immunity, they will start making political decisions rather than decisions that are smart for the income. Now, if this body wants to make decisions about divesture from Darfur or any country, if we were mad at Canada over maple syrup or something, you know, this body can make that decision. But I have difficulty with state retirement boards getting into this political realm of intentionally losing money for our beneficiaries because of political reasons. And I think we're opening the door for this board to become extremely political.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would suggest this the opposite. Up until we passed that legislation a few years ago, this board did have immunity. It was after this state, the only state in the nation, by the way, that has passed that Uniform Act in its entirety. There's another state back east that has passed it, but they modified it through statutes to meet the needs of their board members. I don't believe that there's politics will play into this. These board members are dedicated. The concern that I had by not letting them have immunity is that we won't find anybody qualified to serve. And that's very important, that we find those members who are qualified to serve. Let's also think about something else that this body did and the legislature did this year. They're going to be able to hire a chief financial officer to help them even more with the decision-making process, to give them the information so they can make the right decisions. They're not going to make decisions because of politics. They're actually going to they are looking after the beneficiaries. They're going to continue to look after the beneficiaries, and we need people who are qualified, dedicated to serve on this board to ensure that the beneficiaries of the state of Wyoming are well taken care of.
Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to share that I was there whenever they had this discussion about Darfur. It was fascinating. One of the individuals did encourage them to sell all of any company that had any interests there. The board resisted that. And the board resisted that decision partially because of their allegiance to the trustees. In fact, I'd say primarily to their duties as trustees to the members of the system, is that was resisted. The members of the system are protected through the Prudent Investors Act, through the trust laws that we have in the state, and through the ethics rules that these board members often have within their own private companies that rules how they deal with their customers. And so I think that that's very well covered, and I just want to echo the words of the chairman of the conference committee. I think that in order to have the caliber of people serving on these boards that we really need and want, is we have to give them the protection that trustees expect and deserve, and so on and for this concurrence.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just disagree that the beneficiaries are losing some protection here. These board members are charged with managing that fund for the best interest of the beneficiaries. But you have to understand the liability here. They are board members of a board that has as much potential financial exposure as board members of the largest corporations in our country. And they're doing it as volunteers. And you just can't ask. If they were getting a couple $300,000 a year to be board members, that'd be a different situation. And that's what some of our professional advisors are getting in terms of compensation. And at that level, they ought to be liable. But we cannot, if we left this the way it was, we couldn't get a board member to serve unless they were totally impecunious and judgment-proof so that they couldn't get hurt. And I don't think those are the kind of people that we want on this board. The statutes charge them with managing this thing for the benefit of the beneficiaries. And they're going to look at Darfur or whatever the question may be, and they're not going to make just totally political decisions, and they're certainly not going to lose money because they make some political decision that results in losing money. And I just recommend that you vote for this. I think it's the only way we can have board members on here, and I think these board members are properly charged so that we'll get the result that we want. On and for Joint Conference Committee report.
We are now voting on Joint Conference Committee number 2, report to Senate File 9. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger excused. Blake. Brechtel, Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Childers excused, Kraft,
aye.
Davison excused, Dirks,
no.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Edmonds,
no.
Edwards,
aye.
Esquivel F excused, Esquivel K,
no.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey. Harvey? Harvey excused. Eichel?
Aye.
Illaway?
Aye.
Yagi?
Aye.
Jones?
Aye.
Jorgensen?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Lockhart?
Aye.
Lubno?
Aye.
Madden?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
McComey?
Aye.
Mercer?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Millen?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Philp?
Aye.
Korberg?
Aye.
Samuelson?
Aye.
Simlick? Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan, excused, Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 47 ayes, 7 noes, 6 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number 2, report to Senate File 9. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number 2 on Senate File 21. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Joint Conference Report number 2 to Senate File 21 and ask for your favorable consideration. Single transaction that occurred at this conference committee was to strip off the amendment that the House had attached to the bill so that we could pass the original bill as it came over from the Senate, which allows the Hathaway students, nearly 30-some percent of them, who lost their eligibility before not being able to have satisfactory academic progress, not enough hours to regain that scholarship after they have spent a term getting themselves back in good graces. And the amendment, while a darn good one and will be back again, wasn't worth losing the whole bill over, and so I just would encourage you all to vote aye.
We're now voting on Joint Conference Committee number 2, report to Senate File 21. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt this report. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Childers, excused. Kraft.
Aye.
Davison, excused. Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F., excused. Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.